postdoc from Lam Wen Kai. Wen Kai is doing the his first
Carlo, do you hear me? Apparently, you. I think you are still there. But I cannot hear you, and apparently you cannot hear me. Wenkai, do you hear me?
I can't hear you.
So it's only Carlo, I think.
Yeah, it's only Carlo.
Okay.
I just learned that he was visiting his institute.
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we couldn't hear you for 1 minute, let's say. But apparently.
Okay. Sorry. So
maybe we start from the beginning. And,
Sure. I'm sorry. Hello, I'm sorry. Got some problem this morning. Well, very fast. Maybe I can make you co-host, Guillaume. I'm sorry for that. Okay, so Wenkai, sorry. Wenkai arrived about a year ago at Lam for his first postdoc with Guylaine and Concerto team before he obtained the Bachelor at the University of Science Technology of China and the PhD in Beijing at the National Astronomical Observatory of China. During that period, he worked with Wei Liping, one of the first researcher building a facility to perform intercity mapping with H1. And he visited in 2017 the University of Western Australia, where he worked with Lisser, Stanley Smith, Barbara Catinella, and Luca Cortese. He came back to China and started working on FAST, which is the topic of his talk today. So welcome, Wenkai, and sorry for my problem with the connection. Please go ahead.
No problem. Thank you for the introduction, and I'm very happy to be here to. And my talk today is about the 1OF noise analysis for the FAST H1 intercity mapping from a drift sky experiment. And here I will start with the introduction. And for the detection of the signal for the galaxy, we have different ways. As usual, we may measure the flux from the galaxy. Like if the flux from the galaxy is larger than 5 sigma, or maybe we will count this as a galaxy, and we may use the number density of the galaxies to measure the large scale structure. And another, but in this way, we have to use a telescope with very high resolution and sensitivity, because we will reserve the individual flux from the one galaxy. But there is another way. Another way is the intensity mapping. The intensity mapping is different with the galaxy survey. The intensity mapping doesn't reserve the flux from an individual galaxy. It's just to observe the flux from a bunch of the region of the sky. And here is an example. The left is the one of the galaxy survey. That each point refers to one galaxy. And then on the right, there is the intensity mapping survey. And we can see the intensity mapping survey just map the large scale one. The large scale structure. So in order to more measure the mass distribution in the universe, we can use the intensity mapping to measure the large scale structure. And because we don't have to reserve the individual galaxy, so the intensity mapping maybe is easier than the galaxy survey. And we don't need, but and we just need to design the telescope for very fast survey speed. But for the intensity mapping, there is a very important problem, because because we will, in the internet mapping, we have to make the map of the all the sky, of the sky. So in different sky, the noise in the different position of the sky may be correlated. If they are correlated, then the structure we mirror will be wrong. And we can't mirror the true large scale structure of the universe. So in this talk, I will quantify the F over one, the noise fluctuation in the internet mapping, in the mapping. And for the 1RF noise, in principle, the 1RF noise is a low frequency noise for which the noise power spectral power is inversely proportional to the frequency. It is a fluctuation in the time. And also in the nature, we found the 1RF noise everywhere, not only in the electronics, but also in the music, ballet, and even the economics. For now, the origin of the 1RF noise is not very clear, and it is still under debated. And so there is many research is still have to be done in that area. And for now, here is an example of the 1RF noise power spectrum for electronics. We can see the power spectrum is like this. In the right, in the high frequency, we can see this is flat. This is the white noise. And higher in the low frequency, we can see here is there is a slope. This is the 1RF. This is the 1RF noise. And here is this is the neat frequency, which means the 1RF noise equals the white noise. So we can see in the low frequency, we can see the 1RF noise dominate. So in the large scale, so the noise, the 1RF noise will not affect the small scale. It will affect the large scale. So when we measure the large scale structure in the cosmology, the 1RF noise will make a difference. So we can define the power spectrum for the noise as this. In the first situation, we assume that the 1RF noise is not correlated in the different the frequency channel, in the different spectroscopic frequency channel. Because if they are not correlated, we can define the power spectrum as this. The first one, this is the normalization. And the first one refers to the white noise. And here is the 1RF noise. This is the neat frequency, and the R bar is the spectral index. And another situation, if the 1RF noise is correlated in the different frequencies, they will have different shape of the expression. Also, this one is the normalization factor, and this term refers to the white noise. And here is the neat frequency and the alpha spectrum, the alpha index. And finally, we get these things to describe the correlation in the frequency. And if we can see this another beta index, if the beta equals one, which means that this term disappears and there is no correlated in its frequency. And if the beta equals zero, we can see the 1RF noise is totally correlated along the frequency. So the beta is one from zero to one. And for in a realistic observation, we can see the data stream, the time stream data can be expressed as this. The input signal times gain and plus the noise. The input signal could be the foreground, the signal of the galaxy, also other the from sky, also like this thing. And the gain, the G is the gain of the telescope. And this is the noise of the telescope. Because we want to quantify the 1RF noise. It is the noise along the time. So it is the noise fluctuation along the time. So we take the varying part by divided by the original time stream data by the data average along the time. So we get the variation. The variation consists of three terms. The first one is the fluctuation of the input signal. And the second one is the fluctuation of the gain of the gain. And the final one, this is the white noise. So we can see the one of the noise, it comes two parts. One is from the fluctuation of the sky, and one is from the fluctuation of our telescope, or this is the fluctuation of the electronics. So we will in our work, we will quantify these two things and compare them and try to correct this YRF in the data. Our data is come from a 5-day drift scan observation. It is happening in the 2019. And we use telescope, this is the data. We have 5 days, and most of them, the time resolution is 1 second, and the frequency resolution is about 1.5 kilometer per second. And in this analysis, we have analyzed the YRF for the data from different days. We compare the results, what we found that they are nearly the same. So here in this talk, I will select the data from these days and for the analysis. And also we can see now for the results from different other days, the results are nearly the same. And here, this is the receiver of the FAST telescope. The FAST telescope has about 19 feet. Its position is shown in this figure, like this. In our observation, we are just scanning. We just keep the telescope and fixed, and the sky moved. Our observation scanning the sky at a fixed declination. This horizontal line showing the direction of the scanning. So we can see for this feed of scanning the same region of the sky in our observation. So this is important in our analysis, and I will talk this later. This figure, and I show this is the spectrum. This is the frequency spectrum of our data. And the up panel is the YY polarization, and the bottom panel shows the XX polarization. We can see this is the spectrum. We take the average along the time. So we can see from here, from this central, we can see 1.15 to 1.3 gigahertz. There is a lot of RFI. So we don't use this region. We use the spectrum from the 1.3 to 1.45 gigahertz. So this is mostly the RFI free region. And also, but in this region, we can see that there is also small peaks here, RFI. And we will flag this later. And this is the spectrum. This is our time spectrum. This spectrum is come from averaging our data in the frequency axis. And we can see there are also a lot of small peaks here. This may come from the bright source and or maybe the satellite or something like that. So we will also flag this in later. You can see for the different beam behaves nearly the same. But for one feed, like this feed 15, feed 16, then this fluctuates very, very much. So we will remove this feed and
interrupt you. When guy is Carlo speaking, just a question, which is the reason of the offset between the 19 power spectra, the overall offset?
You mean the offset of
it's just yeah.
Yeah, because for the different feed is also the gain is not mostly different. We have to calibrate it. So if this is just the raw data of the from the different feed, because the gain of the different feed is different. So maybe the raw data is different. But after we calibrate it, it will be the same.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. And so here for the data process, we have for the 1FF noise, we have the data process pipeline. The first we flag the data and then we calibrate, we normalize the bandpass because we just the 1FF noise is the fluctuation along the time. We don't care much about the fluctuation along the frequency. And then we use the FBD to remove the mean principle mode of the data. And then we flag some region of the data, and then we will fill the gap from the flagging. Finally, we will calculate the power spectrum density of the 1FF noise. And here, and this plot showing the data after the flag. We can see the flag, the small peak in the before the flag is disappears in the data after the flagging. So here we can see the spectral is smooth after flagging. And after the flagging, we use the bandpass normalization. Because we normalize the bandpass using this equation. Like we just divided the original data by the data averaged along the time. So the frequency along the fluctuation along the time, along the frequency, the fluctuation along the frequency is normalized. And so this figure is showing the data after the bandpass normalization. And the left is from the feed one. And the left is the XX polarization, and the right is the YY polarization. You can see this is bright stripe. This is from the Milky Way galaxy. And but here we so see a jump here. But this is from the this we don't really know where the jump comes from, but we get with but from the telescope inside, they tell me they may come from the light from the telescope open and off. So this is but this will not affect our results because we will use the SPD to remove this. So we do not calibrate this and I will remove this in the later. Okay. After we normalize the data, now we can use the SVD or the singular value decomposition to analyze the data. Because as I said before, the 1FF noise comes from the two parts. One part is from the foreground, and one part is from electronics. We want to quantify these things and separate these two things. So how to separate these two things? Here we use SVD. We use SVD to find the most principal mode in our data and try to separate it. And we use two methods for the SVD. One is the autocorrelation, which means we just use the data from one beam and use the autocorrelation of the one the data from this beam and to do the SVD. And another thing is the cross correlation, which means we choose two beams and we correlated these two beams and using the cross correlation, we apply the SVD using the cross correlation. The cross correlation is different with the autocorrelation. Because in the cross correlation, we could see this cross correlation is more sensitive to the correlated mode, but it is not sensitive to the uncorrelated mode. So, for example, as I said before, we scan the sky like this. So the beams in the neighbor will scan the same region of the sky. So there are two beams observe the same sky. So the signals from the two beams are correlated. So if we cross correlation using cross correlation, we can remove more effectively remove the foreground of the two beams. But because the 1RF noise from the electronics of different beams is uncorrelated, so the correlation is not sensitive to the 1RF noise from the electronics. So in this way, we can compare the autocorrelation and the cross correlation. We can separate the 1RF noise from the foreground and the 1RF noise from the electronics. And this plot showing the singular values of the autocorrelation, which is in the upper panel, and the cross from the cross correlation from the lower panel. You can see from cross correlation, the value decreased faster, and then they remain just doesn't change anymore. And for the autocorrelation, we can see this number decreased a little, but it will continue to decrease until the mode of the about 30 of the mode number of the, about 30, which means the cross correlation can remove the foreground fast, very effective. But for the one-off noise, they will from the electronics, they will not doing very well. And further, this is the result of the single after the SVD. We can see from here, the upper panel showing the YY polarization, and the lower panel showing the XX polarization. We can and from left to right, this is the map from the first mode removed. 5 or 10 and 30 mode removed is present here. We can see the further after one mode removed, the most signal from foreground is removed, but some residue is also here. We can see here, but after the 5 mode removed, we can see the mostly we can't see very clearly here. The most of them is the noise, just the noise. And the here, the strip, the deep blue strip here is the flat, is the masked region. We mask the data along the time, along the frequency, also along time. And in order to measure the power spectrum, we have to fill the gap, because the gaps here will also introduce a correlation between the different frequencies and the different time. So we have to fill them and to minimize the correlation of the different from the flagging. Also after, and here we, this is how we filling the gap. And for the different mode, we can see this is the frequency spectrum of the at a certain time point. Yeah, we can see this is the frequency the spectrum, and the red point showing the unmasked region, and the blue point showing the masked region. We can see in order to fill in the gap, we first using the red point to fit in a baseline, and then using the baseline, we just fill the masked region with the white, with a Gaussian noise, with the white noise, with a standard deviation, with a Gaussian function. And the standard deviation is come from the white, the unmasked region. So in this way, we're filling the gap using a white noise, assuming a white noise. And we can see this is the result from one mode and 5 mode, 10, first 10, and first 30 mode removed. And we can see the more mode removed, the spectrum become flatter. And also in this way, we can make the correlation between different time and different, we can make the flag, the correlation from the flagging is smaller, but also there will be some residual correlation. But this, we quantify this residue, we also quantify this residue correlation from the flagging. We found this is we found the correlation will be small and will not affect our analysis for the 1RF noise. And after all these things, we can measure the temporal power spectrum density of our noise. And in this figure, I'm showing the results. First, before we measure the time power spectrum density, we average our data into a frequency resolution of about 10 megahertz. because we mostly care about the correlation in the large scale structure. So though we rebind our data, and the 10 megahertz about corresponding to about 50 megaparsec in the frequency of 1 gigahertz. And so here is the result, and I show the results from different feed, and to compare the result from different feed, and here is the first one is where we just keep all the mode and mirror the pulse per density. We can see this is very large slope here, and this we can see there's a bump here, which is from the mostly from the foreground. And after more modes are removed, we can see the spectrum become flatter and flatter and flatter. And we can see then the knee frequency is here for the all mode is about 10 to minus 2 hertz. And after 30 modes removed, the knee frequency is less than about 10 to minus 3 hertz. You can see the SVD, after the SVD, the one-off noise power density is depressed. It becomes depressed and it becomes smaller and smaller. This is the result from the outer correlation. And I also presented this result from the cross correlation. And this is we can see the cross correlation is similar with the outer correlation, but for the cross correlation after the 30 mode after the mode 30 mode removed, we can see the slope and the knee frequency is larger than the outer correlation. So the cross correlation can't remove the one-off noise from the electronics very well. This is how we compare the wild noise from the foreground and from the electronics. And here I directly showing the parameter from the wild noise more clearly in these two figures. I use the equation I showed in the beginning of this talk, and using this equation, we feed the results with using this equation, using those equations. And this is the parameter that I showed here. And the left is the knee frequency, and the x is the alpha, the index spectrum. Because this is from the auto correlation. We can see from here, after 30 mode removed, the alpha is about one, and the knee frequency is lower 10 to minus 3. And it is the same for the x-axis and the y polarization. And for the cross correlation, we can see the kind of different story. We see similar as the auto correlation, that with the more mode removed, the alpha becomes smaller and the knee frequency also becomes smaller. But however, after 20 modes removed, we can see here the knee frequency nearly doesn't change, and also the alpha is not become smaller anymore. If you compare with the autocorrelation here, we can see the autocorrelation after 20 modes the knee frequency and alpha continue to become smaller, but for the cross correlation, it's not. Which means for the first 20 mode, the foreground, one-off noise from foreground dominated. And after the 20 modes, the one-off noise from the electronics dominated. And this is directly show the difference between autocorrelation and cross-correlation in this figure. And I can see for the knee frequency, and for the red point, for the red line is the auto SVD, and from the blue line it is called the cross correlation SVD. We can see change with the number of the modes subtract. From here we can see the cross correlation nearly changes very small. But the auto SVD, the frequency from the auto SVD continue to decrease until the mode of about 30. So we can have a result is that the foreground dominated in the first 20 in the first 20 mode. And knowing this, we mirror this plot. We continue to mirror the 2D power spectrum density of our noise. Because here we assume the one-off noise will correlate in different frequencies. So we mirror the 2D power spectrum of the noise. We can see here the one that is very large here, which means the one-off noise is mostly in the low frequency and low term. And we can see the raw data. From the raw data, we can see here is the correlation. There is a larger correlation. This correlation is from the flagging, the mask of our data. So we don't care about this thing. This from the masking. And here, this region is from the one-off noise. So the one after we can see after this is raw data and 5, 10, 20, 30 modes removed. And we can see after with more modes removed, the one noise can be suppressed at this corner. Let's see with the one noise could be removed by the SVD decomposition. And this is the result from the fitting our 2D power spectrum equation to our data. We can see after the form, this is the fitting result from the R mode to the 30 mode removed, the beta and the alpha 2D. The alpha is become smaller from 1.5 to about 0.6. And the beta is from about 0.4 to about 0.9, you can see here, which means the beta is near to one. It means the correlation is become weak. And it is similar for the XX polarization and the YY polarization. Finally, we compare the performance of different feeds of the fast telescope. We can see for the raw data, there's one feed behave different with the other feed. Maybe the gain for the feed, we find the gain of the feed is behaving very badly. But after 20 mode removed, we can see the frequency of the different feed behave very similar. And this is the comparison of the alpha, the spectral index of different. Also, we can see this one feed will behave very, very differently. And also after 20 mode removed, there also the one of noise of the different feed are similar.
Wenkai, you still have 1 minute. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. And with this fitting parameter, and finally we can see the after with 20 mode subtraction, we can see the new frequency of one noise in a 10 megahertz band is reduced 1.8 × 10⁻³, which means the noise is well below the thermal noise or 500 second time scale. And also we try to quantify the impact of the wild noise on our power spectrum measurement. Also, we do the simulation. For three cases, just the simulation with H1 signal plus 20 Kelvin white noise. And the case one is the white noise plus one OF noise. And from the parameter after subtracting 20 modes. And finally, we can also calculate do the simulation for the one-off noise plus with the parameter from subtracting the 30 modes. And here is the map from the different three cases. We can see that after several mode, we can see one mode removed, we can see this is the strip is from the one of noise. And here is the power spectrum, the density. And the for the H1 is the, you can see the dashed line, is the orange line is the H1 power spectrum, the H1 power spectrum density. And the case, we can see the case one, case zero, case one, case two is the red, green, and the blue cases. We can see after 30 mode removed with the power spectral density is about larger than the true H1 density. It is larger by about 10%, which means the one of noise will enlarge or the power spectral, the true power spectral density by about 10%. And here in the simulation, we also compare the noise from the foreground and from the electronics. Again, from the diamond, we can see the diamond is the foreground. You can see the left point triangle is the foreground plus the noise. And the diamond is just the foreground. We can see that the diamond, for the diamond after several modes removed, the wire noise from the foreground decreases very quick. But here we can see the diamond is there here. This is one of noise from the electronics, which means for the first several modes, the foreground dominated the one of noise. And after this, the one of noise from the electronics dominated. And also we try to calibrate the wire noise because using the built-in noise data from the past. But we know in the fast telescope we have noise at 10 on for 1 second and in every 8 seconds. So we know that we measure this noise in the laboratory. So we know the spectrum of the laboratory. Compare the spectrum of the laboratory from the laboratory to the noise spectrum from the observation, we can calibrate the noise fluctuation in our data. So in this way, we will try to calibrate the one-off noise, but the result is not very good. This is open source. This is comparison between the different between the results from the calibrated and uncalibrated data. You can see this is the result from the PNE frequency. The field and the empty point represent the data without or with gain calibration. Again, the difference is very small, but this may be the reason that with the different this method, the noise calibration is not very very accurate. Maybe we will update the method in the future. And finally, we can see for the CMB and also in the before in the CMB, we use a couple of distributing method in the to remove the one of noise, and which we can see we can use this method in the video data, and we will try this in the future. And here we come to the end of this talk, and I'll give the summary here. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your talk. It was very technical, really far from my expertise. Is there any comment or question from the audience? I see here that you use the acronym SVD for a different meaning that the one you quote before it was a sky something, not single value composition.
Yeah.
Even though then you always talked about the moves and mobiles, so I was actually thinking about the single value composition. Is it just a coincidence or sky variation subtraction? Just a coincidence.
Subtraction.
So sorry. You're right. Well, I have a more stupid question. This work is very technical and specific for the FAST instrument. Are you thinking about the opportunity to apply the same technique to something more general, other instruments, other projects?
Yes, in fact, with this project, this project is for the analysis for the FAST telescope, and also there is also another analysis for the telescope for the Meerkat and the telescope in the SKA, and another there is also. Even though there is not very very many works on, very much works on that, but also there is some other people working on the different telescopes, because the intensity mapping because if we try to measure the large scale structure using the intensity mapping, we have to make sure the noise in the different in the large scale structure is not correlated. So far, however. So a one-off noise will introduce correlated structure in the large scale structure. So the one-off noise is the things we have to consider. We have to take into the consideration if we want to measure the large scale structure. So this is it. So we just quantify this thing for the first circle. But for the other circle, we also need to do these things. To analyze the wave noise in the different telescope, and also there is already some simulation and the measurement for the different telescope for the intensity mapping in the future.
Thank you. Other comments or questions? I don't know. I'm not aware of expertise or activity in these very specific fields at LAM, apart from people working on, not in intensity mapping, but on these techniques. So I'm not surprised that if there are no specific comments or questions, it's not really easy.
Yeah, okay.
Well, no question in the chat. No, if not. Well, thank you. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Next week, very likely, we will not do the cafe club, because the same day there will be a workshop at LAM on dusty galaxies, and the speaker is supposed to talk next week at the cafe club. He's also invited to do a talk, perhaps, I suppose, a very similar talk for this workshop. And so we will invite him in December. So next week, very likely, there will be no cafe club. Thank you, everybody, and see you in the future.